Hey, you want to see some dinosaurs?
Yeah, dinosaurs.
Let's get them in here. Loading CD-ROM into Windows.
Where are the dinosaurs, Dad?
I'm not sure. DOS command dot.
Can we see them now?
Not yet. Fig.sys. Configure jumpers and dip switches.
Dad, what's a dip?
I don't know. Where are you going, kiddo?
To the Crandalls.
What's at the Crandalls?
They have a Mac.
The best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, his black, shimmering, full body spandex suit helps him achieve speeds upwards of 15 miles per hour on the lanes, the bicycle lanes of San Francisco. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Erfan. Don't get the bat cane.
I forgot about that. A critical component. Also joining us, part of his cult of Mac responsibilities includes helping Leander zip up said full body spandex suits. On the back, there's a very long zipper. A very long zipper. So long. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey. Hazardous duty pay. That's going to be my next invoice.
I heard he goes commando under that suit. Is that true?
Oh, God. Just a little bit of cocoa butter.
Also joining us, he has the arms of Atlas, the jaw of Hercules, and his eyes are like the piercing lightning of Zeus on high. Buster Kiney is here.
Hey, what's
Did
up?
Did I take that too far?
Yeah, I don't think any of that's true. So
the arms part is definitely true. I've seen those arms. Woo-wee! I'm perspiring. Anyone else?
Actually, I am too.
Are you really? That intro made you sweat, huh? The more I described it, the more you're like, am I perspiring? Is it just hot in here? I'm not sure what's going on. Alrighty, welcome to the Cultcast. We have a power-packed show for you. Leander was just reading over the show notes, and he was just commenting how amazing the show notes were. And I mean, they're on point this week. We've got so much stuff to talk about. I don't know why he was so surprised. It's like that every week here. But yeah. Here's what we have for you this week. 2 weeks with the X. 2 weeks with the iPhone X. You know, there's some stuff that we missed when we talked about it last week. Plus, we've had it for 2 weeks now, and I'm feeling differently. Honestly, I'm feeling differently than I was in week one. I've had some time to warm up to it, and we'll be talking about the stuff that we like, the stuff that we don't like after 2 weeks with the phone. And also, we'll be telling you some very exciting rumors about the next iPhone X. I know we just came out with the iPhone X, but there are already rumors about the next iPhone X that are very titillating indeed, so stay tuned for those. We're also going to be talking about the two big features coming to you in iOS 11.2, which is currently in its third beta. Some of you may be using it. It should be out any day, and there are two cool new features in the new release of iOS 11.2, so we'll be talking about those. And we'll be wrapping up with an all-new Under Review, where we tell you what we like and what we don't about our favorite gadgets. Before we dive into 2 weeks with the X, let me go ahead and say thank you to LinkedIn Learning for supporting this episode. Guys, listen up. If you've been with us for a long time, you undoubtedly remember Linda, right? The best place to go to learn new things. They had a zillion different courses that you could choose and learn from. Well, Linda was acquired by LinkedIn, and now Linda is reborn as LinkedIn Learning, arising from the ashes, bigger, badder, stronger, more comprehensive than ever before. LinkedIn Learning now features every course from lynda.com, the leader in online learning with 20 years of experience. LinkedIn Learning is a place for problem solvers, go-getters, and for people who want to make moves in their career. Maybe you want to create infographics, improve your leadership skills, or redesign your website. Everything you need to achieve more is on LinkedIn Learning. And if you use any Photoshop software, LinkedIn Learning has the most comprehensive selection of Photoshop courses, Illustrator courses, After Effects courses to help you improve everything from photo editing to vector graphics to 3D animation techniques. I've used Linda and now LinkedIn Learning a ton over my life. In fact, I would say a lot of what I know about Photoshop, Illustrator, I've learned from the instructors that teach the LinkedIn Learning courses. I mean, they've got virtually everything you could ever want in there. Every application you could possibly want to learn, they have available to you, taught in a really engaging way by instructors that are passionate about their topics and the applications that they teach about. There's no hidden charges or upsells. Plus, you can access all the courses you want, all for one monthly price. And it is available worldwide now, and you can learn anywhere from your computer, tablet, or your mobile device. All right, okay, I know, I'm getting passionate. I'm going to tone it back. It's linkedin.com/cultcast. As you can tell, I'm glad they're back, but let's move on with the show. Okay, 2 weeks with the X. I can't believe that one of the things that we missed last week was talking about the camera. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I have a little list here of stuff that's just thoughts using the phone over the last 2 weeks. Also, I think just generally I'm feeling better about the X. I think some people were surprised to hear that I was kind of lukewarm on it. And there are some aspects of the phone that I am still lukewarm on. In fact, I would say I kind of love the software. I'm falling in love with the software, but I'm still not in love with the form factor and the skinniness of the phone. It's just so dang skinny. And I prefer a plus size phone. So let's talk about some of the software features though. So first off, I was having a lot of battery issues with the X, and I don't know if you guys were having the same issues, but ever since installing the new beta 11.2, my battery life has been, I would say, on par with the iPhone 7 Plus. For example, the other day I charged it at night when I went to bed, and then I used it all that morning, all that day, and then by that evening I still had 50% battery life left. Are you guys finding the same deal? Better battery life with the update?
I haven't updated it to that. But
are you having any issues with the battery?
No, I haven't been having problems with the battery at all. I think it works great. And
what about you, Leander?
None.
Really? What's your battery life? What's it been like? Is it comparable to the Plus, or is it more like a regular iPhone?
I think so. Yeah, I don't even think about charging it up. But I have a little mat, you know, at home at work here, so I drop it on the mat, and it sort of, you know, it always tends to be mostly charged up. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've been out all day not charged it and had no problem at all. You know,
interesting.
I can't even remember the last time I ran out of juice, you know?
So I was having significant issues when I first got it, as I mentioned, and my phone was barely making it through the day. And one night I woke up, and after going to sleep, my phone had 50% battery life left. And when I woke up, it was completely dead. So I don't know what was going on.
Something's chewing up your battery.
Maybe, but I don't have that problem anymore. So for instance, I'm looking at my phone right now, and it has 37% battery life left. I haven't charged it since the night before last. So that's a big improvement. I don't know if it was just something chewing up my battery in the background or if installing the third beta of iOS 11.2 made the difference. But so that's a lot better now. Face ID, it's incredible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And now I want it on my Mac and my iPad. I think, Lewis, you were saying this last episode.
Yes, it's true. I mean, to me now, using Touch ID with the iPad just seems old-fashioned or something.
Right?
It's ludicrous, isn't it? It's like chanting some incantations. It's like medieval.
Yeah, I wrote down, it feels like using something from antiquity. It's slow. It's laborious. I mean, if you want to activate multitasking now, it's so laborious to do. To double tap on the home button, who's got time for that? Right? And you have to like manually press your thumb into the button and actually click it twice. I know it sounds ridiculous, but once you get used to the fluid motion of the iPhone X, fluid's the perfect word for it. You know, like when you're riding a bike or you're on a surfboard or like a snowboard or something, and you kind of figure out the dynamics and the muscle movements that need to happen, and you can just kind of move around with freedom and everything's just real fluid and you're just kind of going with the flow and everything is circular. That's how it feels with the iPhone X now. I mean, all the motions to control all the different software interactions feel so natural and fluid. I kind of feel like I can work through things faster on the X, except when it comes to control panel and the control center. That is one of the worst decisions Apple has ever made. It's one of the worst software, hardware decisions, features they have ever put out. It is terrible. I hate it. And I'm hoping that they fix it.
Why? Because it's too far to reach up?
It's way too far to reach up. It's way slow. It's cumbersome. And it's a feature that I use 100 times a day. And because I use it so often, I'm constantly noticing that it's out of reach. And it's just annoying to have to reach up and pull it down. I mean, is it just me? Am I the only one here that thinks this?
Yes.
You guys are not having any problems with it at all?
Not really, no.
Lewis, what about you?
No, it doesn't bother me. I never use the thing one-handed, though. So, I mean, I could see how if you're a one-handed guy.
Okay.
You know, but yeah. As far as, I mean, it's totally fine. It's super fast and responsive. I mean, I don't know. To me, like I said, the only thing I really miss about the whole, it's not really the gesture, but I do miss not having certain indicators up there at the top. You know, the notch takes up so much space that, you know, I'd like to know whether, for instance, my headphones are paired. That to me is the only thing that I consistently find kind of like a loss with all of this, you know.
That's a good point. That's not something that I had considered before. You're right. That headphone pairing icon is gone, and so is the. It showed an indicator of the battery life too on the 7 Plus, didn't it?
Yeah. If you set it up that way, and I think, I mean, Apple could fix that by just making the whatever those little things in the side of the notch are, making those customizable. What do you want to show there? I mean, just like you can do it in the control panel. Why can't I say I don't want to see my battery? I want to see my Bluetooth headphone status, and that's that actually you don't even see that in the control panel, but you see it when you pull it down, you know what I mean?
Yes, so I know exactly what you mean, unfortunately.
And that's a critical thing, actually. I mean, I use those, you know, if my wife is asleep, I want to put in my headphones. You know, you turn on some kind of video and suddenly, oh, they weren't paired, and
right,
you know, an appropriate video.
Right, of course. We assume, yeah.
What else would you be watching, obviously, right?
Exactly. I don't feel like I needed to say that.
As you scramble for the volume.
Completely, and it's so panicked you can't find it.
And then throw your iPad and pretend you're asleep.
Your iPad, honey? Moaning? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I just had an epiphany. You know what they should do is they should add a swipe control to the icons next to the notch so you could swipe left or right to cycle through your icons. How do you like that?
Not bad.
Not bad, right?
Yeah, I'd swipe that. Yeah.
That would be a good compromise, you know, to see some more icons. I was going to say something else that was really smart and clever and well thought out, but I can't remember what my point was going to be. But yeah, the pull down motion, it's just driving me crazy. I really hate it. Oh, it came back to me. I vamped long enough. It came back to me. So I was thinking for the swipe control on the bottom. You know, before if you swiped up and on iPhone 7, iPhone 8, you can swipe up for control panel. They should make that a force swipe. So you press down hard, or maybe you don't even have to swipe. You just press down hard and control panel pops up from the bottom. That's a much better solution than pulling it down from the top right. But I bet you they won't do that because they want to have symmetry. They want to have an action for both sides, would be my guess. So they probably wouldn't implement it that way. Although, as I'm talking through this, I should be working for the industrial design team. So any swipe from the top brings down notifications, and then a force touch at the very bottom of the screen brings up control panel. Boom. Boom. Yeah? Problem solved?
This is strictly because you use it one-handed, right? I mean, that's the only reason that this bugs you.
Yeah.
But I use mine one-handed, too, so I think that would bug me as well.
It's going to bug Buster, too.
What is it that you're going in the control panel over and over and over and over and over to do?
All the time for like Wi-Fi or brightness or volume or camera.
Flashlight.
Like, yeah, mine's like, I got like all the buttons on my center.
Me too. Hmm. Controlling podcasts, controlling music.
Yeah, music too, right.
All the time. I use my phone as my Apple TV remote, and I have the little icon living in control panel so I can, you know, just swipe it up previously and control Apple TV. And now I have to reach all the way up to the top right and pull it down. I mean, it's terrible.
You have to get out your ladder, some ropes.
That's right.
Clambering up there.
I've got my spiked shoes on so I can scale to the top of my iPhone. I mean, it just I really can't believe that I'm alone here. It drives me crazy. I hate it.
Maybe some of the listeners will agree with you.
Definitely. I got some tweets that were supportive. That one listener who's like, who also has very large, manly hands.
In the new beta, it's got a bar to mark it out, which people are losing their minds over.
Wait, say that again? What?
There's a little indicator bar at the top for the control center.
Where?
On the new beta, the latest one.
So beta 3?
Yeah.
That's the beta that I'm using. I still don't see what you're talking about.
The upper right corner?
I don't see a bar. I have signal, I have Wi-Fi, and I have battery. What else do you see?
Well, I don't have an iPhone X, so...
Oh, you don't have an iPhone X. What do you see, Leander?
I'm not running the beta, but I'm going to go download it right now.
Okay.
But yeah, there's supposed to be a little indicator bar, kind of like the home button indicator.
Anyway, okay. So one of the other things that I wanted to mention is the attention aware feature. It's one of those little things that you don't often notice, but when you run into it, it's actually great. And so now that the iPhone has the true depth camera sensor, it can tell when it has your attention. And the other day I was lying in bed and my alarm went off on my phone, but I was already awake. And normally it would just blast the alarm right into your face. And this time it just had it on a very low volume and the notification came up that my alarm was going off because it knew I was already awake and I was looking at my phone. That was a cool feature. And it takes a little while for you to run into that feature. And when you do, it's actually quite cool. Let's talk about the cameras. So that was something that we didn't mention last show. And we were kind of like, what the hell were we thinking last show after we didn't mention the cameras? I would say they're noticeably better, especially in low lights. I think the color representation, at least in the photos that I've taken, have looked much more natural and much more accurate. And the low light performance is also noticeably better. Leonard, any thoughts on camera?
Well, I haven't really played around. And to be honest, all the pictures I've taken so far have been out of focus and blurred and really bad.
What? Have you tried wiping up all the sweat from the front-facing camera and the rear camera?
Yeah, I think that might be a problem. I don't know. I was trying to take some pictures last night and in my dark basement, and they were all terrible. But it was pitch black.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah, I took some award-winning pictures for Instagram that got like 100 likes or something. So
100?
Doing pretty good.
You got 100 likes?
Damn.
I think even more than that. Hold on, let me see.
Did Instagram feature you on their front page or something?
No.
That you just had that organically?
123 likes.
Whoa! Dude, you should become an Instagram photographer.
Yeah.
It's not that great.
That's insane. How much ad revenue did you make from that?
Zero.
I'm surprised you're even here right now. I would have retired.
Yeah, I guess, you know, actually, I've been burning up on Instagram. I'm looking now. 60 likes for the other one. 30.
You had a real banger the other day. I think it was like the Mission District at night or something.
Yeah, I did one on Knob Hill at night with the pyramid and the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and there was some guy injecting something into his arm in the lower right corner. I saw that too. His eyes were glowing. He's looking up at you as your flash went off. Yeah, you had some real bangers the last few days. I was like, I gotta step up my game.
No, I haven't really played. I haven't really experimented with it. You know, like the camera course, you know, like is one of the top. Is one of the best things about the iPhone. They've always been incredible. I think it's hard to top the, you know, like the seven, the cameras in the 7 and the 8, well, the 6. You know, for a long time they've been really great cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for pocket cameras, fantastic, as Buster can attest, right?
Oh yeah, so amazing.
Well, I mean, Buster takes amazing photographs. He's, you know, like a, you know, great photos.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've liked many of those. Hey, I wanted to mention also. The lack of a gate. This is one of the first iPhones in a long time where we haven't had a gate. So let's see. We had the 3G crack gate. The iPhone 4 had the lost signal gate.
Oh,
or was it like the hold gate or something? What did they call that? Corner gate?
Yeah.
I don't remember. The iPhone 5 had the scuff gate and the nick gate. Remember when you got your phone, like the chamfered edges had like scuffs and nicks? That actually happened to me. 6 had the bend gate. 7... was basically just a fixed 6, so it had no gate because it was the same exact phone. They just fixed the problem. And then you have the 10, which hasn't had a gate yet. So really, it's the first phone in 4 or 5 iPhones, depending on how you classify the 7, that hasn't had a gate in a long time. The first scandal-free iPhone.
You missed the story about the green line of death on the iPhone X.
Is that a gate? Is that green gate?
I don't know if it's a gate yet, but it's the only like consistent problem that I've seen reported so far.
I guess I don't qualify stories that haven't blown up nationally.
Right.
You know, if there's small issues here and there, I don't qualify.
Right.
Don't count
there's been some attempts, right? There was the, you know, the cold weather sensor thing.
Cold gate, yeah.
Right. Cold gate. And then... cracking, you know. Oh, it's the most breakable phone yet.
Oh, I didn't even see that one. Is it a real story?
Not really, but people were trying to. I think there was attempts. You know, that was like, you know, I think not attempts to blow it up, but you know, it was sort of a minor controversy, right? That hasn't blown up. Nothing's really taken. And it's a good point.
Yeah.
This is the you know, nothing has really has blown up into like a mainstream national international story.
Not for a lack of trying, I'm sure. I'm sure right. There are people out there who are like, what can we blow up about this phone that's going to get us big YouTube hits? I mean, you got to think, Lewis Helsentager, okay, Unbox Therapy. His channel had, I don't know exact numbers, maybe like 1 or 2 million subscribers before the iPhone 6 came out. And after he did his Ben Gate video, which I think is sitting at 75 million views, I mean, he was up to like 5 million subscribers on YouTube in no time. I mean, that video galvanized his channel as one of the top, not just tech channels, one of the top channels on YouTube, period. And now he's got like 9 million something subscribers. So it's a powerful draw for people to find flaws and post them and get national attention, because if they do, I mean, it's going to make them...
We better get Steve right on it.
Dude, yes, he needs to be... I mean, I'd have him just like invent something, Lander, just like, you know, manufacture something, like hit it with a hammer and be like, my iPhone spontaneously cracked when I was using it. And then, you know, try to pitch that to like Bloomberg or something. Boom! Instant hit on your YouTube channel. Yeah, so scandal-free iPhone so far. And the more I use it, the more I love it. I haven't had any change of heart on the actual hardware itself, but I think that is going to fix itself next year. We talked about this last show. We got some big boys on the way, don't we, Buster?
Oh, some huge
the
ones.
Biggest boy.
Yeah, you might be happy.
I'm going to be very happy. I think we're both going to be very happy.
Yeah. And yeah, that's one reason why I think I might wait on the 10, because yeah, I feel like there's still like, you know, a lot of apps that still don't support it, and the True Depth system isn't like, you know, there's not any like super awesome apps for that yet. So I think it's fine to wait a year, because next year it's going to be the iPhone 10 Plus, and it's going to be just like all sexiness, like too much sexiness probably.
Yeah, you're going to have to see a doctor about that. So there was a rumor or a story this week from an actual credible Apple analyst. In fact, probably the only one that's out there these days. Ming-Chi Kuo. Buster, tell us about that.
Ming-Chi Kuo said that Apple's going to release 3 smartphones next year. One's going to be a 6.5-inch iPhone Plus with like the iPhone X-style screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have a 5.8, which is, I guess, the updated iPhone X.
Yeah.
And then he also said there was going to be a third one that's 6.1 inches with an LCD display, so it's more budget-friendly. I don't know. That kind of sounds weird to me, though.
People like big displays, though.
Yeah, I know, but why would you have a 6.1 inch?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because people want a big display.
Well, I mean, it's big but cheap.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be the it's going to be the big, cheap one.
Huh. I guess.
And the iPhone 10 Plus will reportedly cost $103,000. I got a little chuckle on that. See, I shouldn't have written the original joke down, because then you guys wouldn't have laughed if I just went with that cost. It's going to be expensive. It's probably going to be $1,400, would be my guess.
Probably.
I mean, you got to think, if it's $1,250, right, for the 256 iPhone 10, that's probably going to be the starting point for the iPhone 10 Plus, would be my guess. And then if you want more storage, if you want 512, which might be what they go with, you're looking at $1,400 for an iPhone.
Yeah.
$1,400. Any takers on that?
Well, that's the other reason why I was thinking about not upgrading, because it's like, oh, that iPhone 10 Plus is going to be so expensive. Like,
yeah.
Upgrade this year, I'm definitely going to want to upgrade the next year. So might as well just wait.
They might, you know, the panels though might come down in price, you know, because of the volumes they're doing, and because they're OLED panels, the whole, you know, the production is all brand new.
Right.
They might have recouped cost by then.
That's the only thing I'm hoping for. Maybe like the iPhone 10 price will go down to like $899, and then, you know, maybe the Plus will be $1,100 or something like that. That could happen.
I would love that, because $1,400 or $1,200 even for like the base model. I'm going to say this now, and most people are going to be like, dude, you know you're going to buy it no matter what, but that's expensive. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can do it. I mean, it was hard even buying the 10. $1,100 for an iPhone after tax is so much money. It's hard to swallow, and that's why I didn't go with the 256, because I just couldn't justify the extra cost. I mean, $1,300 or $1,350, I guess, after tax. I'm like, ugh, I can't do it with an iPhone. Even though I use it every day, even though it's my most used piece of technology, it's just too much money. I can't do it. But I do want that larger screen. And I would love to have, as I said last show, I would love to have a plus size version of the 10. it would eliminate most of my criticisms of the phone, and hopefully it would have a 16:9 aspect ratio instead of the weird 19:5:9 aspect ratio of the current 10, which is way too thin for my tastes. One of the other things I was going to mention, oh yeah, the DPI. So even though DisplayMate called the iPhone X's display visually indistinguishable from perfect, and even though they said that at 400 pixels per square inch, there's literally no reason to go any more high fidelity than that because the human eye cannot discern any more differences, Apple's still going. They're still going long, baby. They don't care. They're going to put as many pixels in that inch as they possibly can. The rumor is from Ming-Chi Kuo, the 10 Plus is going to have a display with 480 to 500 pixels per square inch. That's 80 to 100 pixels per square inch. You won't even be able to see. Why are they there? Because they can be. Making you have those bragging rights to all your Android
friends.
Well,
we talked last week about how the screen's already, you know, as dense as it can possibly get, you know.
Right. You can't even tell. Unless you have one of those monocles that Leander likes to wear, there's literally no way to tell that right. your phone has more pixels. But for whatever reason, they may be increasing it even more to have an even more buttery smooth display. So there's that. Oh, we should also talk about the 3D sensors in 2019 here. Leander, you want to talk about those on the
report? Right, yeah. So the Bloomberg report saying that there's going to be a new rear-mounted 3D sensor in the 2019 iPhone, and it'll help with augmented reality. The new system is going to use lasers to measure amount of time it takes for them to bounce back to create a really accurate depth map. And it's supposed to be different from the true depth sensor on the front of the phone, the iPhone X10, which uses 30,000, isn't it, infrared dots?
Yeah, infrared
to measure
dots.
The depth information. Mm-hmm. So this new one will be laser-based and presumably have a longer range. So it's going to be shooting lasers out to make an incredible 3D depth map of the of whatever's in front of you.
Yeah.
That sounds, fascinating. There was rumors about this last year, wasn't there, for the 10. I remember rumors popping up for this one, but they weren't implemented. And I think crucial, for really good augmented reality, to be able to place objects really accurately into the scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that'd be fantastic if that comes true. I think very exciting.
Imagine this, too. I was trying to think of some real-world applications you could use this for. And one of the first things that popped into my mind is with augmented reality, there is a big... Like the hot apps were the measuring apps, right? Where you can measure the room. And those haven't really panned out to be all that accurate, at least the ones that I've tried.
They're fiddly to use.
They really are. Unfortunately, they're not nearly as reliable as I was hoping they would be. But imagine if you were able to hold your phone out in front of you and then just do a 360 and have the entire room be scanned in 3D and be able to see all the different dimensions of the room. Like that sounds like something that might be possible if there's lasers shooting out and measuring the distances between all these various points. I don't know how many lasers the iPhone would actually shoot out, but if it were a lot, it seems like that's something that you'd be able to do. And that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, totally. And especially if you can turn it into a death ray, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, yeah. Especially if you could,
Starbucks,
shoot it at your enemy.
Someone's messing around, they're just taking too long. Just to evaporate them.
Absolutely. I mean, so there's some real-world examples right there that I'm sure developers are working on. What's that?
Have you seen some of these demos? Now, there's one that showed up today. Like, someone captured their face using the Face ID system, for the front-facing camera, and they're putting it into, it's a photorealistic rendition of their expressions in real time, and they're able to stick into the 3D software. So, if you can get that with a forward-facing camera for any kind of, distance, then I think, it's going to be, it will be really astonishing. Like, you'll be able to do, like you said, all this kind of 3D motion capture. So it'll be like, you'll be able to do, sort of Planet of the Apes type, Andy Sudeikis, effects with your phone. But also, for putting objects into scenes, I think they will become, they'll be able to be occluded. You'll get all these, they'll throw shadows, they'll get reflections. I mean, it's already kind of pretty incredible anyway already, but I think they'll be super, super realistic when you get, real 3D laser range finding.
Kind of going off topic here, but on a similar line of discussion, I would like to see them add third-party Animoji so that you could control the faces of characters from your favorite video games and movies and that type of thing. I think it'd be a cool marketing promotion, too. Like, if a new Lord of the Rings was coming out and they included, like, a set of faces that you could download into iMessage and then use the RealSense or the TrueDepth camera to control the facial expressions of those different characters.
So photorealistic Animoji?
Yeah, like that type of thing. I mean,
I can totally see that happening.
Animoji, yeah. but with a different set of characters instead of just the monkey and the pig and like the chicken and that type of thing. Like, you know, I want to be Gandalf, for instance. So I want Gandalf's facial expressions to mimic my own. Even better, and maybe this would be a niche demand, but something that our listeners would probably love. Let's get the entire Apple executive team. That's who I want. I want Johnny Ive. I want Eddie. I mean, I want the entire team. I want to be able to control their facial expressions and maybe use them for like YouTube videos or something. No way they're going to do that. Bob Mansfeld, he's very protective of his of his image. He wouldn't let them do that, but that's something that I would enjoy. Okay, let's talk about the big features coming to iOS 11.2. We're on the third beta now. I don't know if you're using the beta or not, but I've been enjoying it. I think it's made iOS 11 much more stable, especially for the 10. And one of the features that's coming to iOS 11.2, we talked about this last week, is Apple Pay Cash. And one of the things that we talked about last week was whether or not this will work on the iPad. Well, it will work on the iPad. In fact, I just installed iOS 11.2, the third beta, on my iPad. And one of the first things it had me do was set up, I think it was Apple Wallets. It was having me set up all my different credit cards. And so I know it's going to work on iPad now. You'll be able to send, you know, money to your friends and family once this goes live, which I can't wait for. I'm actually very excited. This is one of those Apple features that I think is going to be extremely useful and that everyone's going to use probably pretty regularly. And I've been waiting for it forever. But one of the other things that it added
support
for...
Well, if you don't have any friends or any money.
Well, then you'd be on Android, wouldn't you?
Oh!
Good one.
Okay. One of the other things it's adding is support for the faster 7.5-watt wireless Qi chargers. And Lewis, you said that you have been experimenting with these, right?
Yeah, first time ever, right? I mean, I've never used wireless charging before. And, you know, Leander and I were talking about it the other day. It's like, I mean, it's nice. It's fine. It's handy if you just, you know, set your phone down. But it's so slow. And, you know, yeah, granted, I haven't moved up to the 7.5-watt capability with the latest iOS 11.2. But...
it's not going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's everything I've read about this stuff is like, oh, it's like you get an extra 1% in an hour or something. I don't know, not that bad, but it's so much slower than a lightning cable. So I don't know. I've got to look into this whole wireless charging thing a lot more because I mean, some of these chargers offer up to 15-watt charging. You know, to me, it's not clear why the iPhone doesn't, you know, work with the fastest possible, right?
Can you do both at the same time? Like charge your iPhone with lightning put it on the wireless
question. Yeah, if you want it to explode.
That does not sound good.
It'll melt into a little puddle of glass. Yeah,
a shard of your OLED screen embedded in your forehead.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I wonder what it would do. I'm guessing it would have to disable wireless charging if you have it plugged in.
I bet it does, yeah.
Because that sounds like a recipe for a small mushroom cloud. Yeah, you got to think about it this way. The included charger with your iPhone X is what, 5 watts? I use mine with my iPad charger, which is 12.5 watts. And even still, that charger takes, I think, like 2 hours to fully charge my iPhone X if it's close to dead. And the rapid chargers that Apple sells for $50, which are not at all overpriced in any way, are 29 watts. And I think those charge your iPhone X up to 50% in 30 minutes. And then I think it takes like another, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour to take it all the way to 100%. So 7.5 watts on a charger that can only maximally give your iPhone 80% of the actual wattage that it uses because wireless charging isn't very efficient. It just must take forever. Have you tried charging fully from zero all the way to the top, Lewis?
No, I have not. part of that is just because I don't have, you know, this is at my desk at home. You know, I mean, I've got the one charger. And honestly, my phone, I don't think my phone has gotten down below like 20%. The battery, it's never gotten down to zero. What I notice is that when I'm sitting here working and I have my phone down, you know, it's very easy to just set it there and look at it. But I actually, you know, it gains like a percent or two in between, you know, checking it. You know, it doesn't, it just, it seems so negligible compared to using a faster, you know, a wired charger that, I don't know. I guess I just wasn't prepared for how slow it is.
It's an overnight charger, essentially.
It is, definitely, yeah. It's an all-day or all-night charger. I have one here at my desk at work, and I'll set my phone down, and it'll be there all day. And you know, it'll go from 50 to 100, maybe, and you know, during an afternoon or a morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you know, like maybe a bit longer than that, all day.
Wow. Yeah, I need to get my hands on some wireless chargers. Do you guys have any that you've been trying out that you would recommend?
Well, the only one that I've been trying out is it's not actually just a charger. It's this thing called Chocolate Hub.
Oh, you can't talk about this yet. This is going to be under review.
Yeah. I would just refer people
to your cornhole.
the fantastic roundup of the best chargers that we have listed on our website.
You do have that available on Cult of Mac?
Yeah, I haven't tested these, but you know, we have a post that is basically a roundup of the highest rated ones that you can get right now. You know, there's
Okay, we'll include that in the show notes for sure. Will you send that to me, Lewis?
Belkin has one that's, I think it's called the Boost Up or something.
Yeah, I've got the Belkin one, and it's it goes up to 7.5 watts, but I haven't been running the beta, which I'm installing right now as we talk. okay. I'll see if that makes any difference.
Yeah, it will make a small difference, but it's only 2.5 watts faster than your previous wireless charging support in iOS 11.1, so not going to make a huge difference. Let's see here. Well, we have it under review. We're going to do that in just a second. But I also want to talk about this iPad Pro story about it getting a much insanely improved chip, the AX or the A11X Bionic chip. Let me go ahead, before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Now with three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night, and it's delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that? Size box with free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. And the best part is you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night Sleep On It trial. After all, you spend one third of your life sleeping and they want you to be comfortable. And if you don't like your bed, you can send it back in that 100-night risk-free trial. So, are you waking up with aches and pains? Are you waking up with sore or numb members of your body? That probably means that you need to check out a new mattress. What you need to do is head on over to casper.com/cultcast. Use offer code cultcast for $50 off your mattress purchase. Order a Casper, and when it gets there, prop your old mattress up against the wall and just leave it there. Try the Casper. And if you love it, great, keep it, and you can give your mattress to, I don't know, Goodwill or something, or maybe set it on fire in your yard. That'd be cool. The neighbor kids would love it. Or you can call Casper, and they will pick up the mattress and return it at no cost to you and refund your money. That's casper.com/cultcast. The offer code is cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay. Buster.
What up?
Boom! Let's talk about this iPad Pro story with the 8-core, the octa-core,
so many cores, A11X. Bro.
But tell me about it, Buster.
I mean, there's just a rumor that Apple might add basically two more cores to the A11 chip that's in the iPhone X, like another high-performance core and then another high-efficiency core. So just...
Oh, so it'd be one of each.
Yeah, one of each.
Oh, I thought it was going to be two more high performance cores. So no. So what that would make
it,
what?
It would have three high performance cores and 5 high efficiency cores.
Okay. Let's put this into context. So this is interesting. I was comparing my iPhone 10 CPU, the A11 chip, to the CPU that is in my 2013 MacBook Pro. Okay. Now, admittedly, my machine is old. It's a 2013. But in the single core tests, the iPhone 10 beat my 2013 MacBook Pro by 5%. It beat it. That's incredible. Even though my computer is 4 years old, it's a notebook computer. My phone beat it. In the multi-core tests, it was about 33% slower than my MacBook Pro was. But imagine if they added yet another high performance core and another high efficiency core. I mean, you could be looking at an iPad that is as powerful as admittedly an older notebook computer, but still to have that much power in your pocket is pretty bonkers. I mean, I'm still using my MacBook Pro to do everything. I mean, it's still, the reason I haven't replaced it is because it's still so fast, I haven't really felt compelled to replace it with Apple's newer MacBook Pros because they're really not that much faster than the machines that they released in 2013, unfortunately. So you could end up with an iPad that really could be as powerful as an actual notebook computer. I think that is pretty crazy. And it's a testament to how powerful the A11 chip, the Bionic chip.
Right. Apple's killing it with the chips, the mobile chips. It's insane.
I kind of wonder if they'll end up designing their own chips for their MacBooks and iMacs too at a certain point, or if they'll stick with Intel. What do you think, Leander? What are your thoughts on that?
I've never given it a moment's thought, but I guess it would be. I mean, there's been all these rumors, haven't they, about moving to the same chips to unifying them,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the pros and cons are. I don't know. Have you ever thought about it?
Me, Buster, Lewis.
I've thought about it.
Lewis, what are your thoughts on the 64-bit architecture of the Apple chips versus the Intel Xeon chips? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think you're cutting out there.
We seem to have lost Lewis. I hear him chugging something over there. Okay.
I mean, it's totally true that these chips that they're putting in these mobile devices are just unbelievable. And, I mean, that's the biggest... The one thing I like the most about the iPad Pro that I got and the iPhone 10 is just the amazing speed. I mean, these things are it's unbelievable how fast things are. And then if you go use something just a couple of years old, you're going to be like, what? What happened? It feels like you're walking in mud. These things are so much faster. I mean, thinking about making that iPad Pro even faster, it's almost unfathomable. Like, how's it going to be faster? What's going to happen faster? I don't know.
What can they do? It can't be faster. You sound like Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. How can it be faster?
I mean, I don't find it, there's like no lags. You know, everything you do on the iPad Pro and on the iPhone 10, everything you do, you just press the thing and it happens. You know, you say, oh, I need to update this app. It's like, starts doing it, and boom, it's installed. It's shocking to me.
And it's so fluid, too. Again, the fluidity of it. I mean, you're just computing, you know? You're just sailing in the winds, computing, and it's just a swipe here and a swipe over there, and everything just happens so fast and so smoothly. That's one of the best parts about getting a new piece of technology, isn't it? It's just how fast and peppy and fluid it all feels, and a year later, awesome. It just is just like lurching and crashing. And yeah, well, one last note, thought about this, I should say, is the brand new MacBook Pros, the ones that are coming out now, are really not that much faster than the 2013 MacBook Pro that I have now. They might be in single CPU Geekbench score tests. You might get, I'm going to guess, 15 to 20% increase in speed in some applications. So your iPad, if they add another high efficiency core, could be on par in single core tests with a brand new MacBook Pro, or close. It might be maybe 10% slower or something. That's incredible and incredibly depressing because it just shows that the MacBooks just aren't progressing as fast as they should be, because a MacBook Pro should blow an iPad out of the water, but it's also a testament to Apple's you know, custom-made CPUs for their mobile devices. Anyway, just wanted to put that out there. I thought it was interesting. Let's go ahead and move on to under review. This is the segment where we tell you what we like and what we don't about the products that we're currently testing out. Does anyone have a real big banger? Just a showstopper? I'm going to hit, you know, stop recording, and we're all going to just give up.
Definitely not.
Okay, yeah, me either. I've got some very cool products. I'll go first, and you guys can steal yourselves and get ready to speak. Okay, so I'm kind of a temperature nerd. Leander, I remember you saying that you kind of were, too. Like, you like to know details about temperature and humidity and, like, barometric pressure and all that. Is that right?
No, I think it was Buster.
Maybe Buster. That definitely wasn't Buster. Do you care about such things, Buster?
What?
Do you care about the weather, like the temperature and like...
I mean, I like to know if it's going to rain and stuff, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sure. Good enough. Lewis, what about you?
I love to know if it's going to rain.
Okay. What about like the actual temperature, like outdoor temperature, humidity, that type of thing?
Yeah. I mean, humidity and stuff? No, I don't spend that much time.
Not a big fan of humidity. Okay. All right. Not everyone is. I personally like humidity, but you know, everyone's got their metrics they like. Okay. All right. All this preamble to say, I've been trying out some new sensors from Elgato, which makes... Elgato is an interesting company. They make a whole slew of various products from all these different aspects of life. Like they make gaming products. They've got these temperature sensors. They've got some other home products. And these sensors are all HomeKit enabled. There's three of them that I'm looking at here. There is one called the Eve Degree. And it's a little temperature thermostat that you can put anywhere, you know, that you want. And it has a screen, so it shows you the temperature. And then also it connects to your iPhone via HomeKit, and you can download temperature data over a period of time. So if you like to keep track of like the temperature and the humidity in one of the rooms in your house, you can do that. They also have a similar product called the Eve Room, which doesn't have a screen. It's just a wireless indoor sensor and allows you to track air quality, which the Eve Degree doesn't do, and then also does temperature and humidity. And these products are really cool if you like to track temperature metrics in your home, because you can put them somewhere, right? And then you can connect to them via HomeKit and then download all of your data. And if you live in an old home like I do, like my house was built in 1955, right? And it doesn't heat very symmetrically. Like one of the rooms will get blistering hot, the other one will get ice cold. And so you have to supplement heat in certain rooms of your house with electric heaters. And my daughter's room gets warm and my room does not. And I want
to
make sure that...
Rooms.
What's that?
Just swap rooms.
Yeah, there you go.
The kid's a lot hotter than you.
There you go. I wake up. She's just in the master bath lounging. Actually, I don't even have a master bath. But so I put a thermostat, one of these thermostats in her room, and I could see that at night the temperature was actually dropping a lot because our heater would go off and that we need to increase the heat at a certain time, you know, throughout the night in her room because I don't want her to get too cold. So it allows you to do things like that. It gives you information about the specific rooms in your house instead of just a real-time measure of the temperature and the humidity. So I love that type of thing. They also have one other product they sent me called the Eve Weather. It's exactly like the other two devices. Well, it's more like the Eve Room, except it has an IPX rating, I think IPX3, so it can get, like, splashed on and stuff. And it's meant for outdoor use. So you could set it outside your house. You could have the weather for the inside of your house, the weather for the outside of your house, and then also the humidity. Oh, and the Eve Weather, which is the outdoor unit that I just mentioned, it also does barometric pressure. So if you are into such statistics, such measures, you can keep track of that as well. And the Elgato, I think it's the Eve app. Yeah, it's the Eve app. Is the app that you can connect to view all the different metrics from these sensors, and it's actually pretty cool. To use the app, it's well built and it's nice on the eyes, has a nice UI. And then all of these devices are also available in your home app, you know, because they're all HomeKit enabled. So you can get measurements from them. You know, if you're home, they connect via Bluetooth. If you're away and you have an Apple TV, then you can download metrics because the Apple TV acts as a HomeKit hub. So I recommend them. I think they're like between $30 to $40 each, and honestly, they're one of the cooler products that I've tested out this year. If you like keeping track of weather data and temperature data, they are some of the best products that I've used that are out there that do that, and some of the best HomeKit-enabled products for sure. So those are my picks. The Eve Room, the Eve Degree, and the Eve Weather. Lewis, what do you got for us?
First, I got a question for you about the Eve Degree, which I've been using myself.
Oh, you have?
Yes. My question is, do you use that to trigger any HomeKit actions?
I don't, but I could.
You could.
The reason I don't is because my thermostat, which is the Ecobee 3, which I love and I also hate, is man, I could do a whole show just about all the things that frustrate me.
Well, that's funny because I was going to talk about that. I've been testing out one too.
You've been testing out the new one, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay, they must have worked out the kinks. it comes with a independent sensor that you could place around in a different room, and so.
Well, right. Well, so why don't you put that in your coldest room?
Well, here's why I don't like doing it that way. And
because then the whole house gets...
Exactly. And I kind of think this is a flawed design. I mean, the Ecobee has an independent sensor that you could put in another room, and then it will heat the whole house until that one room meets the temperature that you want. But as right. Leander astutely pointed out, it heats the whole freaking house. Yeah, you don't need to do that.
You could have a zoned heating system, right? So that it can heat up different zones at different times, different temperatures...
I mean, that would be ideal. That's what office buildings do, don't they? I wish homes worked like that, but unfortunately, it's an all or nothing ordeal. You're either heating your entire house or none of it.
They make zones like that, but
I think you got to fiddle with the ducting.
You got to get a new furnace, is what you got to do. I mean, good luck.
Oh, is that all?
yeah, but so
you would need new ducts too. I mean, you'd have to have some type of like duct automation.
You could probably do it with the registers, you know, that go in the room. You can probably close them in the rooms that heat up too fast.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or at least you know restrict them and then open up fully the ones in the rooms that don't heat up that well.
But see, isn't it easier just to keep the house at like a base level and then use electric heating to heat the rooms that need the supplementation?
Well, I don't know. It's getting kind of expensive then, isn't it? You're running like multiple heaters in multiple rooms.
Yeah, but to heat up a room that's already been heated, to use an electric heater in a room that's well insulated. Here and there, just to kind of stay warm, and then the entire room goes from like 65 degrees to 70 degrees. I mean, you're not really talking about that much heating.
Yeah. I guess it could be, you know.
Anyway, what was your question, Lewis?
What if you connected one of those with a smart plug, and have it say, "Oh, okay, when it gets down to 64 in this room, I want to turn that plug on."
That would be great. In fact, I was thinking what we really need is a HomeKit enabled. A radiator heater, like some type of electric heater that you could program to work like a regular thermostat does in your home. That would be amazing. A plug would work well too, but some of the radiators out there, they don't turn on right away when you plug them in. You have to actually power them on with a switch, right? So that wouldn't work.
It seems like a good safety feature, really. I mean, I was thinking like you wouldn't want to do that like in your kid's room or something, because like what if somebody threw a, you know, they throw some clothes on it or something, and it switches on. So yeah, it's probably. Yeah. But for, I, you know, could you have it so that? I don't know. I was curious what you actually use the degree for, because I mean it's a beautiful little device, but right. Like okay, well now I know exactly how you know humid it is in my room. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that data. I guess.
Well, I don't think it will be actionable for everyone. For me, it is. But for some people, they just like to know what the temperature is inside and outside. I mean, I just like to know that stuff. I don't know why. It's just been something that I've always liked to know. And, you know, it's something that we talk about. It's like, hey, how's the weather? What's the weather like? You know, I don't know.
It's a Seattle thing.
That's why I always ask Buster, like, every call. I'm like, what's the weather like there in Phoenix? You know? I ask him, like, every single show. And he's probably like, why does everyone care what the weather is here so often? Well, now you know, dude. I just like the weather. I like to talk about the weather. Some people talk about sports. I want to know how humid it is in your local city. Okay, Lewis, what do you got for us?
All right. So the thing that I've been checking out is called a chocolate hub. And it's a USB-C hub that you hook up to your MacBook, and it gives you... gives you those ports that you're so sadly missing. It gives you a SD card reader. It gives you a Type-C that goes, well, you can plug in power to the hub and then also to the laptop. Two USB 3 ports and an HDMI port. And on top of that, it also is the wireless charger. It has wireless charging in it. So it's kind of this... multi-function thing, and I don't think there are any other ones that have that wireless charging built into them.
I don't think so either. This is an Indiegogo project, right?
Yeah, it's on Indiegogo right now. They're shipping things out. You can order one. I think you can still get one for like $89.
Oh man, this is pretty cool.
It's the design. You'll either love it or hate it, right? I mean, it looks like a chocolate bar.
It does look exactly like a chocolate bar. Brown plastic
top. I guess it's plastic that's got a grid on it. Makes it look like a something. Leander just about took a bite out of it when it arrived in the office. I think the the aluminum edge that kind of slowed him down a little bit. It's kind of a whimsical design, right? I mean, if you put a picture in the show notes or something, people will get the picture. It's not super sleek and all aluminum. It's kind of fun. I mean, it gives it a little bit of character that you don't see in that many products.
But it has an aluminum band going all the way around it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that kept Leander from biting into it.
I mean, I think it looks pretty good.
No, I'm not trying to downplay
to the brown, but
I'm just saying overall, some people might go, oh, it looks like a chocolate bar. It's, I don't have a sense of humor. I don't like it. Personally, I got a sense of humor. I do like it. And it's, I've been running a monitor off of it. Works fine. Charges up my phone slowly. I don't actually know what wattage rating it is with the charging. I've been trying to figure that out, but I have to ask them what that is.
Probably more than your iPhone will accept.
Yeah, probably so. I'm going to update and see. But anyway, it's a great product. And, there's still a couple of weeks left to go on their Indiegogo campaign. So I say check it out.
You kind of need a hub too, don't you? If you have one of the new MacBook Pros and you're trying to go USB-C only, there's way too many USB-A devices out there. And there will continue to be for a long time. I don't think they're going away anytime soon.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to have sitting on your desk. It's way more convenient than flipping around looking for this dongle or that dongle and everything. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I got no complaints so far.
Okay, the chocolate hub, which Leander tried to bite and electrocuted his tongue. Available on Indiegogo.
It does look delicious.
You should paint the outside brown and just leave it around and see how long it takes for Leander to try to eat it.
Do you have dental insurance, Leander?
Well, my teeth are already gone, so.
Such a cliche.
Right. They're very British.
An oldie, but a classic. Okay, Leander, what do you got for us?
Well, I was going to talk about the Echo Bee 3, too, because I just got one to test. I just installed it.
You have the Echo Bee 4.
Okay. So it comes with a sensor, and it's actually Alexa-powered. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to be able to use it with Alexa. And to be honest, like the first time I tried it with Alexa, I'm like, it didn't work because it didn't recognize the thermostat. It was confusing it with the sensor, which I have in another room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, forget it. I'm going to have to. So I've got to, I think what I've got to, I've got to rename a couple of devices so it distinguishes between them. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really, I haven't tested it enough to talk about it, sensibly. But so far it seems okay. It seems, pretty good. I had a Nest, like a first generation Nest.
Yeah.
That had taken on, it had gotten a mind of its own. The Nest was coming out at all times of day and night. I was hoping the Echo Bee would solve that. But unfortunately, that one's coming on all day and night too.
Yeah, see, that's the problem I've been having with it too, is it will hold temperatures I didn't tell it to hold. It will turn on the heat when the heat's not supposed to be on. I mean, right. It started doing all these weird things, and it's like it had a mind of its own. It's like you not control temperature, I control temperature.
Yeah. Well, I the other thing is the kids constantly fiddling with it. Like my son, once they sit on top of the registers. They strip off all their clothes and they're lying there and they're. In their skivvies, in their and with their feet on top of the registers, right? And they'll crank it up to like 85 degrees, uh-huh. And that's because they want to keep the air coming out, not realizing that the thermostat is going to heat the entire house to 85 degrees,
And then it learns that you like that behavior, right?
Yeah, and so it starts to do it, yeah. So I think I think it's supposed to go. I don't think I've been able. I think the trick is to go in and give it some rules, right? Mm-hmm. This is with the Nest anyway. Like I set up this elaborate system where. Well, it wasn't even that elaborate. I just told it to go on at certain times, in the morning and then be off during the day and then come on in the afternoon and evening and then be off at night. But, it didn't stick to those rules. And the last time I opened it up, it was all over the place because it had that. But I turned on the learning setting. There's a learning setting on that one where it's supposed to learn whether you're in the house or not.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, I'm hoping to have more luck with this Echo Bee. But I haven't really had a chance to play around with it. Anyway, so when I talk about the thing I did want to talk about was, you've guessed it, an Apple Watch band.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to guess you had something else that was not related at all to the first thing that you talked about.
Yeah. And they called it Mac Apple Watch Store.
Oh, but, shocking.
I know. Isn't that a surprise?
Yeah, tell me more.
I hate to pimp out our own stuff, but this one, but I don't.
Clearly, you're very angstridden about
the hatred.
This one's a beauty, though. It's another Juke band. And Juke are our friends from Hong Kong, run by Eugene Ho, who's like a professional from the luxury watch industry. He's on his own now, like doing independent. Oh, it's a sideline. He's doing his independent bands. Juke. They make some really beautiful stainless steel bands. This one's aluminum, and it is inspired by race cars. So they have this really aggressive link design that resembles race car, sports car tire treads. And then it has a racing stripe down the middle. And at first I was a bit, I don't know, these are kind of a bit flash, for mm-hmm. me, because they come in, they're basically silver or space gray with an accent color. So gold, yellow, crimson, blue. And, I was like, I don't know if I like the color, but it really grew on me. Like I put it on to test it out and it really, really grew on me. I thought they really looked fantastic. And the material, it's not easy to get aluminum bands. Like that, as far as I know, there aren't that many aluminum bands on the market. And so the material, totally matches. Like if you have an aluminum Apple Watch Sport, it totally matches the look and the feel and the color of the watch. Like there's a really, really good, great color matching. And Eugene's like completely obsessed with perfection. Like he's up there with Johnny Ive, right? Everything's got to be totally, utterly perfect. So he sent us some prototypes, and then they were a hundredth of a millimeter off. And,
Throw it away. No good.
He had to stop the whole production run. Like, he junked them all the ones that he'd been putting in that he had, running and started again, like it had to be absolutely perfect. So anyway, cut long story short, they were on pre-order for a while, but now they're shipping. So they're available for order and shipping from Hong Kong on the site. They are, how much are they? I've forgotten. But
$89.99.
How much?
I don't know. I was just guessing. Actually, I recall seeing them on the store, but I don't know how much they actually were.
Yeah, I really liked them. Like, I really do. I think they're really, really good. Really, really nice bands. Really rugged. Really, long-lasting, well-made. Really good quality.
Okay, I'm sold. Where do we go to get these said watches, bands?
Okay, so you go to store.cultofmac.com.
store.cultmac.com, and there is a 20% off code exclusively for Cultcast listeners. Use code Cultcast at checkout.
We don't want to mention that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned that. Don't use that code, and definitely don't share it with your friends and family.
You won't ever want to pay full price, especially around Black Friday.
That's right. So do not use that code that I just mentioned, Cultcast. That's the code not to use when you go to store.cultmac.com. Okay,
$149. That's how much they cost. Just
how much?
$149.
Well, not for our listeners.
I gotta say, Leander, I'm very jealous of these things, and if you grow tired of it, I sit right next to you.
Okay. Why don't you just pinch it? Just sleep at my desk.
Just do what his kids do. Just take it.
Tim Cook book.
You've earned it. You've written all Leander's books. You deserve a Apple Watch badge. Especially since he still hasn't paid you. Let's see here. Okay, Buster, let's wrap it up. What do you got for
Mine's
us?
Mine's not tech related at all. It's total okay. fashion, but it's winter.
Oh.
And you might need a jacket, so it's like a perfect choice.
Okay, what do you got?
It's like the new Patagonia Micropuff hoodie. It's
how much was that jacket?
It's like a $300 jacket, but it's totally worth it. It's like the lightest, most packable jacket Patagonia has ever created. It's so insanely light you like don't even feel like you're wearing it.
What did you say? It's the Micropuff?
Yeah, the Micropuff.
You know what? I just got a new down jacket from Rab. Are you familiar with them?
No, I'm not.
I think they're a British company, and I was surprised how lightweight the jacket is. Like normally when you wear a jacket, you feel like you're wearing a jacket, but with a down jacket, you don't really feel like you're wearing anything, you're still warm.
Yeah. That's like this this Patagonia one. It's insanely light, and it all packs into like the front pocket. So it's great if you're like into camping like me, and you don't know how many layers you're going to need. Like this is like really perfect for everything, and it's super trendy. I'm sure like Leander and Lewis see them all the time in San Francisco and stuff.
Oh, probably. I think I see these in Seattle,
Yeah, I'm
too.
Sure. Yeah.
So, is this a review unit, or did you buy this?
Yeah, it's a review unit. I wouldn't buy a $300
Patagonia
sending you review stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
Lifestyle, it's like, what's lifestyle up? Publication, Cultamac. They know. They know the power of Cult of Mac, Lander.
Can't like, wait to read we'll that review.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll send you one of each color. This sexy-ass jacket. Did you get black?
No, I got the red one, which the red one is, like, really, like, bright orange. So I would go with a darker color for sure.
That's a bold color, dude. Yeah. Can you pull off orange?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the Cavs for that. I couldn't do that. I would need, like, a dark blue. Dark blue looks pretty good. I can't do orange.
Well.
I don't have the skin tone for it. But this is a sexy jacket. And it's warm in temperatures down to what?
I don't know. They don't really say that. Temperatures down to...
No, they don't.
I don't know, cold.
And the thing that I like
just
about...
Just cold, not freezing?
Probably not freezing-ass cold, but I've worn it on some campouts where it's got close to 30 and it's pretty warm still.
Oh, see, no, it says right here in the description, good down to freezing-ass cold temperatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only $300. Man, their stuff is so expensive. But they do. But I do like that they're consciously made. Yeah. Right.
Right. And it lasts forever. They'll fix it. Right. If you mess it up, they'll really? Fix the thing.
Yep.
So it's for a lifetime, really. And it's a good deal, you know, because it's good quality stuff. It's you don't want to chuck it away.
Yeah.
And each of the geese has been massaged by a professional licensed massage therapist for the duration of their lives. Their feathers are fluffier and warmer than non-massaged ducks and geese. So. You get to feel good about that. Okay, so I will include links to all of these items. There's a lot of stuff, man, this show. We talked about like 18 things. All of these items will have links in the show notes if you would like to check them out. But let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Do you want to come tell us your thoughts about the iPhone 10? Are you still wondering whether or not you should get an iPhone 10 or should you wait? We are all on Twitter. We are here for you. Come say hi. Come ask us questions. Come talk about the stories that we're featuring on today's show. I'm at Airfon. Leander is L. Caney. Buster is BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best, most prolific, sexiest Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Boom! It's like you stared at a big old burrito and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Someone wants
God, I wish I was staring at a big old burrito.
Oh my. I mean, your thong.
Talking of boxer shorts, Olin. You know how skinny Olin is?
Mm-hmm.
He was standing in the kitchen making some food. He's super tall. He's like 6'3 and really, really skinny.
Dang,
and
how tall are
you?
He's
standing there making some food, and his pants just suddenly dropped down to the floor.
Jeez!
They just fell right off him.
So now he's a rapper.
Were you standing there?
No, my wife told me. I'm laughing my head off because they're abandoned there on the floor. He just left them where they lay.
It so happened to me once when I was a kid. Someone scared me. I jumped up. When I landed, my pants fell off.
Yeah, I had to peel my pants off.
You need like a shoehorn, a leghorn.
Right.